Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Second hour, Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on this Wednesday morning. ESPN 102.5, The Game. We told you we would talk to Predators forward Craig Smith, and he is indeed on the line with us. Craig, how are you and Aaliyah and Tula all doing at home?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
We're doing good. We're doing just fine. How you guys doing?
Well, we're hanging in there. We're doing shows from the house. It's been a little bit different, but it's been, you know, we're plugging along, just hanging in there. What about you guys?
I bet, man. Yeah, it's been kind of day-to-day, I think. You know, at first, I don't think we really know, like, how long it was going to be, and I certainly didn't think it was going to be as bad as it was. So this whole you know, coronavirus thing really, really kind of took off, so. We found a lot of things to do at home. I'm sure you know it. That having a house, there's an endless amount of chores that needs to be done. So we're staying busy.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, you know, we've talked about some of your likes away from the rink. And obviously one thing you love to do is fish. But one thing that I've also uncovered since, you know, you've been at home is your love for painting and watercolors. Where in the world did that come from?
There wasn't much of a love for it as much as my wife was doing it. And I was like, I got nothing better to do right now.
Yeah, but you're good at it. Like, where did that come from?
I don't know. I honestly, the whole thing started with probably 2 months ago. She was doing it, and I figured, hey, what the hell? I was like, let's do something together. If you're doing it, I'll sit there with you. And so we started doing it, and it was pretty therapeutic, to be honest. But it was a good time. You know, you had a glass of wine, and you start painting, listen to some music. You know, before you know it, a couple hours go by, and it was a good time with her.
Do you consider yourself now, Craig, an artist?
No. No. Just
he's a musical artist.
Yeah, there's that too. We know fishing and music, but I did not see the art side in you.
Hey, I drive a car to work every day, but I don't consider myself a race car driver. So it's just something they got to do and to stay busy with. So
we may have to see if maybe you can get those things up for auction, maybe for the Predators Foundation or something. Raise some good money. I like it.
I think we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here, boys. They're not that great, but yeah, it just keeps us busy. I mean, we've had some crazy requests from some family members that have seen them, and this is kind of fun at the beginning because we're like, you know, where can we take this? You know, what am I going to do next? Like, we're acting like we're some type of big time artist, but. My wife's actually really good at it. She's taught me everything I know. So
that's great. So what have you been doing? What can you do? Your sport is unique. You know, basketball players, most of them have, you know, a hoop at their house, and so they can go out and dribble and shoot and do stuff at home. But your sport really doesn't provide that. I would say most do not have a rink at their house. So what have you been doing to kind of stay in shape and stay somewhat sharp, if that's possible?
Yeah, it's been unique. It's been different. I mean, from the beginning, I was like, you know, okay, well, this thing, they put the quarantine down, I think it was like, I don't know, a couple of weeks, and so I'm kind of looking at how things are going to play out here, and you know, working with our trainer, I got enough stuff to kind of keep me busy for the first like 2 months. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll kind of get an area ready and get things, get the ball moving. And, you know, it's tough where you want to be because, I mean, if we're shooting for three months from now or we're shooting for a long period of time, even further than that,
I'm thinking most guys are probably just starting their summer training right now. You know, because even if quarantine does end and we have to take some time to get ready to, you know, I'm sure it's going to take a couple weeks for guys to get ready to go again. You know, the block phases of training, it would be probably in your best interest to start your training now so that by the time we start, your blocks are kind of stacked together and you got things moving right in the right direction.
You know, we had a good conversation with Julie Turris, Kyle's wife, and you guys are very familiar and close with the Turris family, and she really felt like that you guys were hitting, you know, starting to really hit your stride under new head coach John Hines, kind of when everything had to come to a halt. Do you feel the same way? You feel like things were coming together?
Yeah, you know what? I really do. I believe that. I think I really liked his message. Obviously, it was different for, you know, I'm sure it was different for him too because I think he came in like that Tuesday night game or but it just
against Boston.
Like it was such a quick turnaround. So the way he handled that, the message that he got across to everybody, was very clean, simple. I think everybody got on the page, same page very quickly. But I think the style of play that he wanted to play was right and what we needed at the time.
You know, the uncertainty of all this that you've already touched on. What do you think? Nobody has any answers right now, and hopefully we'll get something as we get a little bit closer to another month. But I mean, what's realistic in your mind of what really can be done to salvage this season, or can it? In your opinion, I mean, you're a guy that knows what it takes at this level, and like you said, the longer you guys are out, how do you make that work as a sport? How do you feel as a player? How would you answer that?
Well, I look at this thing. I mean, I watch the news every day, and I see the updates. And I've had friends, friends that have been affected from this, and you know, from my thing. I mean, I don't know if it would start up soon again. I would love for this thing to go away and for us to get back to normal. But they're, you know, without a vaccine, and I know that they're taking measures and being able to treat COVID a little bit differently. Until it hits, a friend or a family member, I don't think that people take it as serious as they should. I mean, things go back together. We put 20,000 into a stadium in a month or two with no vaccine. It's tough. It's really tough. I mean, it's a pretty tricky situation. I know I'm sure they're talking every day, and it's not something easy to make a decision on if you have no fans or if you have no fans and you don't want the crowd or people to get together, you know, it's okay for the players to go and get together, and I mean, then we have to quarantine, and there's just so many unanswered questions right now. It's just it's up in the air, but you know, I just want everybody to be safe. You know, if we got back together, my folks came to the game, and then my parents got it, and God forbid something happened to them, and it was a life-threatening situation, I'd never forgive myself. So it'd be a tough situation.
We're talking to Craig Smith, Predators forward, here on the show, 102.5 The Game. And, Craig, you've said a lot, and I think we've all had these thoughts about the different scenarios. And, you know, one of the things that has been kicked around is if the squad does go into somewhat of a quarantine and you're playing in an empty building, but just the thought of playing in front of nobody, you know, I've given it a thought as an announcer is if I'm put in that situation, what would change? I'm sure you've given thought as well, playing a high intensity game, maybe a playoff game with nobody in the stands. That would be unlike anything anybody's ever experienced. True.
Yeah. No doubt. It's I played for once
And it was in the Columbus Blue Jackets stadium, but it was in junior. And there,
okay.
It looked like there was nobody there, and it was weird. I mean, it's just everything's so quiet, you can hear everything. You can hear the other team's bench even, and so it's it would be really different. I hope it doesn't come to that. I mean, it's it's an atmosphere that definitely feels the players. I mean, we need them as much as they need us, and it's a dual tandem there. So I really hope it doesn't come to that. That's gonna be different. Change and. You know, who knows?
So, Craig, in the meantime, I know some of your teammates, coaches have had some Zoom calls and talked about this a little bit, but what is the communication like between you? How often do you get on a Zoom call, and how often are you conversing with some of your teammates here to just kind of touch base?
Yeah, I mean, we have our text threads and our getting information to each other and make sure everybody knows what's going on. And, coaches have reached out and making sure that just checking up and seeing how things are going. You know, so far everyone's been doing great. So, yeah, I think, everybody gets on those Zoom calls. I think they're kind of cool. I think my wife and I have done a couple with some of our teammates and some of our friends from back home man, it's life changing, man. I never thought we'd be having to do a game night or a cocktail hour on there. But it's been different and fun, I think it's a huge tool moving forward.
So everybody's asking these questions here about how you pass the time. You were talking about you've got some hobbies. You play the guitar. You're doing the artwork and things like that. What about shows? What shows can you recommend? We're all looking for that next one. I just finished up Ozark season 3 here, so I'm looking to start fresh with something.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we just finished up Ozark as well. I'm actually going through Band of Brothers with my wife, and I'm telling you, it's like watching Rocky with my
classic.
Dad. It's unbelievable.
Wait a minute. What is this?
You've watched it before. Have you watched it before?
Oh, yeah. This is like my eighth time.
Eighth time, I was going to say. We've all watched
that's
it a couple
show.
Times. That's still, but it still is great. Are you? I assume the first one, not the Pacific, but the European?
Yeah. It's a European tour. But I think every American
Pacific
has
is
watch
the
that.
Pacific is very good, but not as good as the first one.
No, I know. I think it's really, they talk about get in depth with the characters a little more in Pacific and kind of the reality of war. But, Band of Brothers is just like this. Man, these guys are just on, they're unbelievable. They're heroes. So it's I got my 101st Airborne T-shirt on right now.
That's awesome.
So,
that is awesome.
But yeah, we've been watching that. We just got into one the other day called Lock and Key. So we're definitely venturing out and trying different shows and just staying busy. So.
Have you been playing any Mario Kart? I know you like the Mario Kart on the N64.
No, Kyle's got that. Tennis got that at his house.
Oh.
I'm
sure he's trying to teach all of his kids to play. So he's got four controllers on there, so that'd be big time for him.
Julie told us that kids are whipping him in the board games. They're beating him up, especially in Yahtzee.
Bet they are. He's getting old. He's getting sharper. Oh, if you heard me, he'd kill me. I'm sure. Did she say what games they're playing?
We were actually talking about, but they did a video, and he actually was kind of doing a tour of the house, and he showed like the area, I guess the dining room area where they've been playing a lot of board games, and he said his one son, I think his son has been beating him up in Yahtzee.
Oh, that's perfect.
Which is a great
that's
game.
Perfect.
A lot of fun. Good family game.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they got some mini sticks going as well. I love it.
Craig, we had Matt Duchesne on earlier in the 9 o'clock hour, and I asked him this question. And granted, he's been through a lot in the last 2.5, 3 years moving teams. But how much of all of this prepares you, more for just the unknown that happens, in your career? And I mean, do you feel like that there are some lessons that, that you can take away from this stoppage and how things have gone to prepare you for the future?
Oh, that's a tough question. It's...
I bring the heat, man. You know it.
getting deep philosophical.
I definitely think that self-reliance, and making sure that you're finding the right things to do. I think this goes without saying, but you know, just how you spend your time when nobody's watching. I think that's pivotal, and just taking care of yourself right now. I think health-wise is probably like the biggest thing that's going to change. I mean, you see, you go online and like everybody has bought like. Like there's no fitness equipment online right now, so everybody must be working out and taking care of themselves right now. So I mean, those are kind of the big takeaways and what's you know, what's the best thing for yourself right now, and you know, I think that can only benefit you know, the community and everybody staying healthy and being safe. So you know, if everyone's doing that, kudos to them.
You know, you touched on this a little bit earlier of you guys hitting your stride when all this started, and Matt said the same thing, that was the disappointing part of you guys felt like it was really coming together when the stoppage happened. So is there a sense with you that if the season doesn't return and this is just how it ends, that there's just so much unfinished business with everything that you guys went through as a team with the coaching change and just coming together and starting to put it all together as the stoppage happened, is that something that you've thought about?
Yeah, we had a lot to prove. We left a lot on the table. I think this year was pretty bumpy and rocky at the beginning. A lot of expectation. I think that, you know, when you got a good team and you expect to win, and I heard it on the Last Dance documentary yesterday. It's when you lose, it feels like you lost five in a row, and you lose one. So it's. I feel like our team kind of felt that, and in no way am I comparing ourselves to the Bulls, but you know, I think that we definitely put that on ourselves, and you know, a couple games or a bumpy start, you know, it kind of weighed on us. But I definitely think that we were finding our stride there towards the end. We were getting the right message. I think the guys are responding well. I thought we were stringing together some games. We were making strides, and you know, it's unfortunate, but you know, I think our guys will do a good job to stay ready just in case. You know, you never know what's going to happen here in the next 4 months, and you know, we'll take it from there. But you know, it would have been a lot of fun to see how this plays out right now.
Okay, I'm glad you brought up The Last Dance. So, have you watched the first two episodes?
Awesome.
Isn't it cool?
Awesome. Really enjoyed it. Yeah. You know, man, you just didn't hear about Michael Jordan that much. I mean, you know everything about him. Like, he was great in stats and all that stuff. But, like, there wasn't really social media back then, or you could dig into a guy's life and know what he's doing every day. So it's interesting to kind of see Mike and how he was back then. And it's pretty neat. I think Scottie Pippen has one of the coolest stories that I've heard of him becoming the stats manager at the beginning of his college career. It's just amazing.
Yeah. Well, they better be glad there
the
wasn't.
Age, I guess, Craig, where you were growing up, you weren't really watching Michael Jordan at that point, right? I'm trying to put together the timeline here, but he wouldn't have been somebody in your household that people were watching all the time. I mean, you've got more of a hockey background, obviously. Although I have seen you guys, Craig Smith's crossover dribble. He's got some game on the basketball court. He was at the sports festival during the basketball clinic doing the drills with the kids. He's got game. He's held the leather.
Yeah, no, you know, I just didn't watch basketball. You know, I was talking with a buddy of mine the other day. I'm just like, I wish that, you know, some of those big stars back then. I wish I remember watching them. Like, I was probably 8, 9 years old when that was going on, and I just didn't pay enough attention to it. And it's, you know, I guess it just goes back to, you know, probably like 10, 15 years from now, we'll look back and say, do you remember watching LeBron and those guys? And you got to get out and watch these guys, because before you know it, the time's up, and you're watching documentaries about him saying this guy was awesome. I can't believe I didn't watch him. So, yeah, that's definitely definitely wish I would have paid a little bit more attention when I was little.
They better be glad social media wasn't around then, as we learned in the documentary. Probably wouldn't have been a good look when it got out that Michael Jordan and Danny Ainge were playing golf in between games one and two of the playoffs. With a member of the media, too, of all things. I mean, can you imagine
different,
that story
huh?
today? Holy
different
cow.
Times.
Jeez.
Game must have been not that hard to him because just going out and playing some holes and – that's just a different world, different crew back then too, man. It's those guys are something else.
As we wrap this up, I'm also wrapping up Ozark. I'm on episode 9 of season 3. I wrote down Band of Brothers, Lock and Key. You had also told me, I think a while back, The Ranch. Are you still giving that the thumbs up? Check out The Ranch. I'm looking for the next thing too. So, did you
Man,
still
the ranch is like my background noise in my house when I'm doing chores.
Okay.
Yeah, the ranch is one of my favorite shows.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely got to throw Bloodline in the mix too. Bloodline's been good. We got a long list of stuff to go through, but those are the ones that we've been kind of hitting at.
Oh, this is good. I've got some good choices upcoming. Hey, really appreciate you joining us. Good to hear from you. You guys continue to be safe and. You know, hopefully we will come out of this, but hopefully we'll be talking about your sport resuming action here sooner rather than later. Thanks for doing this.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you very much. Have a good one.
All right,
see you, Craig.
You too. That is Craig Smith, and we do appreciate him joining us. We'll come back and talk about some of the things you just heard on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Appreciate Craig Smith for joining us. Good to catch up with him. What did you guys make of some of the things we talked about in that interview with Crazy Legs?
Well, Craig Smith is a pretty deep thinker, right? He's contemplated a lot. He looks like he's pretty in tune to what's going on. I thought he made a good point that I think a lot of us are grappling with, and that is if you I really have not. I do have a few friends. I've got three or four that have actually had the virus. They've all fortunately been able to fight through it and not have any hospitalization or anything like that. But, you know, he said something I think that's very, very true. If it were to hit somebody in your family or my family, I think my whole perspective might change, right?
Absolutely.
You know, there are days that I have, and you guys, I think, have these kind of days too, where I'm like, man, I'm ready. Let's do it. Let's be smart. Let's go. And then there's some days where I think about what Craig said, and I'm like, wait a minute. You know, are we doing this right? You know, and there's so much information out there, right? There's now more and more, you know, experts who start to have maybe slightly different projections on what the right path is to take. And, of course, every area of the country, we have such a vast country compared to Sweden or Great Britain or Italy, or South Korea. Like, South Korea is playing baseball games now, but they're way ahead. It's a smaller place. They were on it early with testing, and so it was easier for them to do what we probably need to do, right, with the tracing and the antibodies and all these things that you're hearing about. It's so complicated, and because of that, I think it can go a lot of different ways, and you have even the best experts might not all agree on the best way to go. So it's heavy, right? There's a lot to think about, but I think I come back to what Craig said. If I were to all of a sudden find out somebody close in my family has it or is in the hospital or a vulnerable person, then maybe my attitude would change even more.
Yeah, I tell you what, listening to him put that in perspective, listening to Matt Duchesne with you and Ryan in the 9 o'clock hour, it does. I understand. Look, I understand all sides. But when you hear that and then you hear, you know, kind of what we've talked about and Matt Duchesne described, you know, if they were to come back and do a playoffs for this season, the 2019-2020 season, the champion, you know, whoever wins the Stanley Cup is either going to do it, you know, they would do it in front of no one. And, you know, this is the pinnacle of your career, right, when you do that. I mean, Matt Duchene talked about that. I mean, that's what everybody's striving for. That's what everybody wants to get to. And for all the ones that would experience it for the first time, to do that in front of no one and to not get a parade, like, that would be incredibly weird. But there's this whole business side of things and, you know, and trying to still have a crown a champion for a body of work that's already been done, right? I mean, they've already played about 70 games. So there was this body of work that you would like to see somebody get rewarded for. But when you hear that, and then you kind of hear what Craig said, and certainly, you know, I don't think we feel like it would be in front of fans. And then you hear Matt, and we've talked about it, what it would be like for the winning team. I mean, how awkward that would be. Like, yeah, you won, but gosh, the whole thing. I mean, that the beauty of that run in 2016-2017 was what happened in this market. I mean, it changed the landscape of this market, right? We
no talk question, about but is it
the MLS
but
is here
is
because
the circumstances
of that run.
Now? It's not ideal. Nobody would choose what they're proposing, right, under normal circumstances. But I do come back to this, and this is all under the, is it safe? You know, are we in a position where we feel okay about minimizing the risk? Is it better than nothing? And I do think the answer is yes, at least in my mind right now.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Matt Duchene said it best too, because I asked him, is there a drop dead date in your mind where they have to make this decision? Because look, it's their lives that they're having to live, and you know they need to know, and they have to prepare physically and mentally to either get back or to look ahead to next season. And he said that's the $1.1 billion question. I mean, that's what it is, and that's how much money that. It's kind of at stake right now between the owners and the players, and there are financial implications that they have to look at. But at the end of the day, it's all about the safety and well-being of the fans, the players, their families. And so, but I do believe that they all kind of feel that way. So as I have said many, many times on this show, I have my way of thinking has changed a lot in the past month and a half, because when this started, I think, and Craig brought this up, that I don't know if people really looked at it as seriously as they should have. And now I'm in that. Like, I will admit that I, at first I was like, okay, you know, all right, well this will pass. We'll get through this. And then you learn more about it and it grows and it spreads. And then you have to stop and go, huh, this is serious. We need to fight this. And we have. But I think people have just looked at it that way, and now, as much as I would love to be covering the Stanley Cup final, I mean, when I talked to Chris Mason and Hal Gill last week, I said, man, we should be in Vegas right now, or we should be on the road. I mean, it's somewhere in the playoffs. I mean, I would love to be doing that, but at the same time, I don't want to have to go through what we're going through now again. So let's beat this, and then we can worry about, you know, getting fans back and everything that we do. So that's how I look at it. That's how my mindset has changed, and I think a lot of people have gone through that.
Yeah, and I still don't know what we're facing. That's the unusual part. I do think it's changed since we've been talking about this throughout the layers of the last month and a half. I think there's more optimism than maybe even a week ago of all of this. But what is going to be interesting is there's no foolproof system. There just isn't. Like, everything is going to be a risk because there are no hardcore answers. There's just not. And we all know, we've talked about it enough on this show, that it's just not feasible to sit here and think the only foolproof answer is us all sit here in our homes till there's a vaccine. You know, you can't halt the country and everything until that happens. I mean, you know, it would take, I don't even know how long it would take to dig out of that hole. But so whatever you choose to do, there's not going to be, there is no guarantees. I mean, there's going to be risk involved, no matter what it is, no matter how hard you try to minimize the risk, there's still risk involved. So what is the right answer? I'm glad that I don't have to make that decision. Quite honestly, I'm not even sure I'd want to be in those meetings. Most of the time, I'm always saying, man, I'd love to be a fly on the wall, or I'd love to be in that meeting. In this particular case, I'm not so sure. My head would probably be spinning by the time it was all done because of, you know, how much you have to go and how many bases you have to cover, right? How many things you have to truly talk about and do a deep dive on to make sure that that is the right way to go about it. Maybe that would probably be a little bit too much for me. That's probably one of those meetings I wouldn't want to be in.
The most important thing is what can we find out? How much can we find out between now and the time that you really have to know to make your plan? If you're the NHL, right? We know some things. We know who's vulnerable, et cetera. We've learned a lot since March the 12th. I looked at the calendar as we were talking to Craig. That was the day that the team came home from Toronto, mm-hmm. right? So that's been, what, 40, 41 days, 42 days, something like that. So I think we've all learned a lot personally, right? We try to get good information, but there's still a lot we've got to learn. So I keep going back to the real answer to our questions will be found in how quickly we can get the testing among the masses a lot more, because I think that will allow us to really make much sounder decisions on who's got it, how risky is it, all of these things, and what can we do? Because as you said, Darren, we've got to figure out what we can do, because the virus is not going to go away. It's just it's not going to go. But we have to figure out how can we smartly do what we can to get active, get our economy active, live our lives actively, and still protect the vulnerable people who are most at risk here.
If I'm being totally honest, listening to the Matt Duchesne interview at 9:30 this morning, what stood out to me was how many times he said if they come back.
Yep.
I mean, that really stood out to me. I mean, he said it many – I lost count how many times he said if we even come back.
I thought that Matt Duchesne was very transparent on his way of thinking with this. And I appreciated that. I mean, he was and he was realistic. I mean, he wasn't saying when we come back. It's like you pointed out. He said if. And, you know, what he said about nobody dreams of holding the Stanley Cup not on their home rink or the other team's rink in some remote location with no fans. I mean, I thought he was very very open about how he was thinking with this, and Craig was too. So that just shows you where they are and how the players are thinking about this, and that it's not just we want to get back and we want to start playing games again and go win the Stanley Cup. Like, no, they know that there is a bigger picture to all of this. And so that I appreciate that.
Why do you think he was saying that so much? I mean, these guys are privy to more
stuff
than us.
Because I think he's realistic. Well, yeah. That's true, and he may know something.
So is there a reason why he did not seem optimistic at all about them finishing this past season? Or this
I think
season
he's just realistic. I think he's being realistic, and that's I think that's what people need to do more. It's just sit there and go, you know, if you're like we talk about betting on this show a lot. If you're placing odds on whether they come back or not, I think the favorite is probably leaning more towards no, that they're not. And that's just the realist point of view.
We see them would be the 2020-21 season?
That's what I think the favorite would be. If I'm being realistic.
You're saying that would be the favorite.
If I'm being honest and realistic,
but I think we would all
yes.
say, though, that depending on the day, right, we've all had those days where – I would say no. I'm speaking for myself. There have been days where I have said to myself, I don't think it's going to happen. We're not going to play again this year. And then I've had days where I'm saying, yeah, I think it is going to happen. I think they're going to play in some form. Like I'm not allowing myself at all to think that they're going to play in front of fans anytime soon. But I think of the choices of not playing at all or playing in some bubble, right, where it's deemed safe enough and you're playing in front of no fans, I think that's becoming realistic, but it's not a certainty.
Let me.
If I'm being
depends
totally
on the day,
honest,
right? Do you guys agree? Like some days you might feel different.
Sure.
I was gonna say if I'm being totally honest, I have those daily thoughts. I mean, it's daily. I would say my daily thoughts are I have felt more that it's not going to happen than it is. If I'm being honest, there would be closure to this season.
Right.
If I'm being honest, I would say my thoughts have been I just don't see it because. Here's another thing that stood out to me yesterday. So we played your interview with Victor Arvidsson, okay, that you did over the weekend for an upcoming Fox Sports Tennessee broadcast. Well, they're back in Sweden. They just left. They left on Monday. Does that sound like a player that feels like he's coming back anytime soon? If he just took boarded his family on a plane and headed back to Sweden? So something we've been talking about. How long can you – what does it take, 2.5 months to do a playoffs? What if it's expanded? 3 months? Okay, when do you plan on starting? If you need 2.5 to 3 months to finish the playoffs, what is a realistic start date before you're talking about the next season?
Yeah.
Well, and there's two conversations here. You obviously have the greater good conversation, the health and well-being of our world, not just our country, but our world. But then you have to look at it from a strictly hockey point of view, too. I think that's important. And are you, you know, to use the old phrase, are you robbing Peter to pay Paul? Because are you going to sacrifice the future in the next season and hurting that season to finish this one and to save this one? At what point do you just have to decide that it sucks because there are going to be so many, you know, question marks and unknowns, and we'll never know who's going to win the Stanley Cup this year, what the Predators were going to do, you know, how their season was going to pan out. But if it preserves the 2021 season and makes that the best season that it possibly can be and doesn't hurt that season, then that's ultimately what you have to do. That's kind of how I look at it. So, and look, the NCAA tournament, you know, college basketball, they already have that. We won't know who the best team in college basketball was. We won't know how a season where it looked very wide open was going to turn out. And that stinks. And we'll have that conversation for years of, hey, remember 2020? Remember when the tournament got canceled because of COVID-19? And, you know, who was going to win that year? That'll be one of those June topics on down the road. But it is what it is. So I think that that's one way that you kind of have to look at this is just from a hockey point of view, do you want to really get this season in and crown a champion and all of that or and possibly hurt next season, cut into next season? At some point, you have to make that call.
When we come back, we had Pierre LeBrun on the show last week. There's also been some discussions that he's put out there on Twitter about the NHL discussing the draft and when they would do that. So we'll do that on the other side to close out hour number two of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. So we had Pierre LeBrun on last week. A good conversation with him, a really good conversation. And the NFL is going to conduct their draft as planned. That starts tomorrow, by the way. This is going to be your place, ESPN 102.5 The Game for all the action. Also, ESPN 94.9, all the draft coverage. Titans currently select 29th in the first round. So they have decided and they have been rewarded with all this attention. And it's given us something to talk about because they are going to do it. The NHL is expected to have their draft in June. That's when it is planned. And so there was all this uncertainty. So what do you do? You know, do you put that on hold? And that was another thing that we could throw into this conversation. So when you come back, you need 2.5, 3 months, if you're going to do expanded playoffs, to complete your playoffs and crown a champ. And then when do you do all the off-season stuff? When do you do the draft? When do you do off-season? And, oh, by the way, you're supposed to start up a new season in early October, and you've got a training camp in September with preseason games. How do you make all that work in that window?
Yeah, and you're referencing Pierre LeBrun in the article that he had. He talked to Bill Daly, the deputy commissioner of the NHL, and one scenario is that they do it in June before the season resumes. And that's okay. You go, all right, well, sure, knock it out, but how do you get the draft order? Mm-hmm. That's the big question. So that's very something that they question. Have to figure out. I mean, that's not the big question. That's the question, because yeah. That's how you determine the draft order is where everybody finishes plus the lottery and all of that. So I wonder if that is another dot that we should be connecting, that he's throwing it out there of, yeah, we could do it before we resume, but do you really read into that, yeah, we're not coming back?
That's honestly, if that's what I thought when I read that. That to me was a hint that if they're tossing that around, they're also tossing around guys that just don't think we're going to be able to make 2019-2020. There's going to be, you know, we're not going to be able to finalize.
So you're piecing together all these vibes and starting to think that the chances of this are decreasing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Hmm. Do you not?
You know, I hadn't really thought about it until. You know, today, really, but I have to say, I am picking up on what you're
picking up, what he's laying down.
With, I guess that's a good way to put it. I mean, Duchesne, Smith, you know, there's been some other national articles that have some of the same feelings, and then, you know, this, I think you could maybe make that argument, but again, I would not rule out a swing of emotion back. In another week, where maybe there's some breakthroughs and some things we don't know today, right? So
sure.
It's still unknown.
Yes, but the problem is they don't have time on their side, because what you're saying is true. Like, the longer you wait, maybe there's more we learn, but the longer they wait, the time is not in their favor, right? Time is not their friend. Time is ticking. And so if you flip that hourglass over and the sand is going down. Eventually the sand is going to get to the other side, right? And so you're out of time. So how do you make that work? And I don't know how you juggle all this stuff. And if you're done, then the draft order is pretty simple, right? You go by the standings when you stopped play. And that's how you have your draft. True?
Well, let's also keep in mind that they did a draft after the lockout where they didn't play a season at all. And they threw everybody's name in a hat, and everybody had the exact same chances of getting the top pick, which happened to be a guy named Sidney Crosby. Mm-hmm. And you know, you could have gone by the stats from the year before, right? There were some teams that were way better than other teams, and probably should have had a better chance of getting Crosby. And
who was second, by the way? Who had the second pick?
The Ducks.
Ooh, ooh,
quack.
Wow, that worked out. That worked out good for everybody in the West, right?
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
They got Bobby Ryan, who was a heck of a player, you know, a really good player, but quite a drop off from
Sidney Crosby. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not bringing this stuff up. We all know that what we're rooting for, but we're just trying to discuss it and just talk out loud. I'm just, the more I listen to the players talk, the more I start reading stuff from Pierre LeBrun and Elliot Friedman, who joins us on Thursdays at 1, and people that are in the know, you start floating things out there. I start trying to connect dots. What does that mean? And maybe it doesn't mean anything. Maybe it's just a discussion piece.
Well, this is a something that I think we can agree that we all see. The assumption that I've had is that all the players want to play, right? But the players are human. Right, I think when you really look a little closer, I mean, and knowing that they don't know any more than we know, right? Nobody knows everything. Even the experts don't know everything. The health experts, they would admit, they don't know everything, right? They're doing the best they can, and they're experts, but they still can't predict exactly the future. But some players might say, hey, I'll play. You just tell me where to go, I'll play. Others might be a little bit more hesitant, right? It all might depend on, you know, their perspective. Maybe their parents have been hit by it, or they've got a close family member or a close friend that's been affected by it. They may feel different than somebody that has not had that experience. Right?
You just hit on something.
There's a lot of different ways.
You just said
what did
assumption.
He hit?
Assumption. The
what
assumption is the assumption is the players want to play. And I don't think there's anything wrong with assuming that.
For the financial reasons, right?
Right.
The financial reasons are very, very important.
And granted, I guess have only talked to two players today about this, and I thought that both Craig Smith and Matt Duchene, you could tell that they have put a lot of thought into this. And yeah, they'd love to get the season back, and for the financial reasons that you just threw out there. But they're also looking at this from the bigger picture, and they're also looking at this of, okay, there are other things involved, for next year. We didn't bring it up with Craig, but he's scheduled to be a free agent. So he's got that he's got to deal with. You know, does he come back to the Predators? Does he resign? Does he have to go through the process and end up somewhere else? So there's other implications there that somebody like Craig has to think about. Matt Duchene just went through that. So to use the word assumption, I think that's spot on, because I think that if you polled the league, I'd be curious to know what all the players are thinking about this. Of, are they at the point now that they should be wrapping up the first round or coming close to wrapping up the first round? Are they at the point of going, you know what, maybe we just need to move on? I'd be very curious by that.
Well, I mean, think about what I've laid out there, okay? And I got no pushback. So you guys in agreements, it's not crazy, right? It's just a fact. You look at it, that's about what it takes. And if you're talking about expanding playoffs, it would be more like 3 months, 2.5. Let's go on 3 months. So let's say that the regular season, that's toast. They're not going to finish out those, let's say, a dozen games, okay, for each team. It's just going to be strictly playoffs, and they are going to expand it some. If you need 3 months, okay, we know May is out. That's not happening. Does anybody think this could realistically start? It's not going to be early June. I mean, it would be either late June or the beginning of July. And if you need 3 months, I mean, do the math. I mean, you're wrapping up at the end of September.
But you can adjust how long you play based on the amount of time you have. But I agree with you. I think if you're not training by the beginning of June and have everybody knowing what the deal is, then it's you're really at that point running out of time.
And I
can see a mid-June and then play July and August. I can see that, even though there would be ramifications for that. That might affect your schedule for the following year. And we've been talking about this all along for the fall sports. The fall is a moving target too, right? Even for seasons that want to start, the football season. So the hockey season goes along with that, right? Even if you didn't play a single game, you still don't know exactly when you can start the following season anyway. So there's so much to consider.
Yeah, and how many
and
players?
By the way, when's the draft? If you start mid-June, okay? So when's the draft?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the whole – I mean, do you do it before, like we were just talking about? I mean, that's the other part. But how many players, too, are going to –
What if you just don't have a draft?
I don't think that's an option.
I don't think that's an option.
No?
No.
I mean, these kids are 17 or 18. There's a lot of people that think you should push the draft age back to eight, a year or so anyway. So I wonder if that will ever, gain some traction. Just have a year where you have everybody be eligible the next year.
Well, I would say this. Don't you think somebody, and maybe I've missed it. I don't know how I've missed it, but don't you think somebody would have floated that out there? Have you seen that anywhere?
I have not.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you think somebody would have floated that idea out there? Like, what if they didn't have a draft? Wouldn't somebody have suggested that? I would think.
I hadn't thought about it until now, but
yeah.
The kids are so young, it's not like they wouldn't have anywhere to go play. You know, most of them stay on the same team that they've been playing for when they get drafted, right? They're either going to go to a college that they've already committed to, or they're going to stay on their junior team for another year. I don't know what the domino effect would be, but it's not like, teams would miss on the first three or four picks sometimes can jump right into the league and have success. Other than that, they're going to develop in their usual spots anyway. But it's probably not going to happen.
Yep. We'll come back. Hour number three. We'll come back on this Wednesday, soon to be afternoon. You're on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Hey, guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.